This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you discussion on strengthening India-Bangladesh bilateral relations. The participants are Jayanto Roy Chaudhary, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
It's a joy to be with you, Jayanto.
Thank you.
So the Prime Minister today in the joint press statement said that this is the first one with the Bangladeshi counterpart after he came to power for a third tenure. And this was the first state guest in his third tenure. So the expectations are quite high.
Yes, indeed. Basically, we have to note two things, or rather three things. First, that Sheikh Hasina has been in Delhi second time in 1 month. And this was a planned state visit from both sides, which means it must have been planned quite some time back. And both sides must have decided that Sheikh Hasina will be the first state guest, head of state, head of government level, after the NDA 3.0 government is sworn in. So that in itself says a lot about the relationship between the two countries.
Correct.
And the third thing, which is very important, which I think analysts will be pondering over for a long time, is that Sheikh Hasina has chosen to visit India first before she travels to China. And she is going to be traveling to China soon. So it says a lot about the nature of our relationship between the two countries, where we are actually, in some senses, you can see, we have twined much better than most countries. It's the relationship could be described similar to what the Americans have with the Canadians.
Okay. So the PM also said that Bangladesh is situated at the confluence of our Neighborhood First Policy, Act East Policy, Vision Sagar, and Indo-Pacific Vision. In light of all this, you know, in this confluence that he's talking about, the relationship that you also mentioned a while back, how important is our relationship with Bangladesh going forward, whether it is to do with the blue zone or it is to do with, you know, defense or going to the space, you know, other initiatives that are coming up in the dialogue between the two premiers. So how important is our relationship with them?
Well, you know, FDR, that is Franklin Roosevelt's policy towards Latin America, was about good neighbors. So with our Neighborhood First is similar to that in that sense. Bangladesh is strategically perhaps the most important neighbor that we have for several reasons. First, if you see the geography, Bangladesh is built into the heart of India. It is between West Bengal and Assam. It's like as if like it's like an enclave of the sea inside India. That's one. So it's strategically liquidated. It is along with India and Burma. It basically encompasses the Bay of Bengal, which is our water, which is our pond, if you want to call it that. Strategically, it is extremely important. If you want to reach into Southeast Asia, which you do want to with your railways and your roadways, then you have to traverse through Bangladesh. That is the cheapest route. You can, of course, go through the chicken's neck into Assam and then into Burma. That's a possibility. And it is also being done in one way. But the shorter way and the cheaper way to travel would be through Bangladesh. So which is why we have invested so heavily in both road and railway links with Bangladesh, as well with our energy links. If you realize that we have, now we are exporting power both from Farakka, that is in West Bengal, and from the gas power plants that we have in Tripura to Bangladesh. And Bangladesh is virtually linked to our electricity grid. So at some stage, when we have a South Asian electricity grid or a South Asian electricity market, Bangladesh will play a very, very important role in that. Especially so because Bangladesh is a growing power. Its per capita income has now crossed about $3,000, US dollars. And it is going to grow at a fast rate over the next couple of decades. Demography says that. The growth imperatives talk about that. So Bangladesh is going to be energy hungry just like us. And we will have to continue, both of us will have to keep exchanging energy with each other. And possibly at some stage, just as we built highways into Southeast Asia, we will also be building electricity grids with Southeast Asia. So there will be a lot of sale of electricity from these three zones, South Asia to Southeast Asia, and maybe on the other side, on the western border towards Middle East, because we will be taking electricity, or rather energy, from both in terms of gas and oil from there.
So export of electricity.
That's a major, major thing.
From Nepal to Bangladesh via India.
Via India, it's already happening. Yeah. But Bhutan is again on the cards. So these are big things. And you have all these hydel projects in Southeast Asia. So they will also want to sell electricity to India and Bangladesh at some stage. You must realize that we are going to need much, much more electricity in the days ahead than we produce at today's day. Right now we are self-sufficient in electricity, but the rate at which we are expanding, and especially if you set up all these mega, you know, these centers, data centers in India, which are coming to India, by the way, they are electricity guzzlers. We will need to produce much more electricity. Climate change is upon us. Climate change, one of the first things that happens with climate change is you need more electricity to cool your countries, to cool your factories, your buildings, even your farms are tomorrow's days. Horticulture cannot do without cooling, and for that you will need to pump up water, to circulate water. For all that you will need a lot of electricity. Electricity consumption is going to really boom in this entire region in the future.
So this is the first example of sub-regional cooperation in the energy sector. Also, Jendo, implementing such a big initiative in so many areas in just 1 year. That is very important. It's so exciting, and it reflects the speed and scale of the relationship between the two countries.
Absolutely, but you have to realize that all these agreements were signed today, but the work must have started a couple of years back. Yeah, it's been happening. See, Bangladesh is important for us strategically too. As I said, all our routes to Southeast Asia will lie through them. It is important actually to all in the entire world. Even China and America are wooing Bangladesh simply because of its positioning. It's in an important position. As far as the blue water economy is concerned, if we are going to mine rare earth minerals from the seabed, which is what we want to do, because we don't have any stock of rare earth. Unfortunately, geographically, India doesn't have much stock of that. There is some talk of rare earth in Jharkhand and elsewhere, but we have yet got to find them out. We have really got to start extracting them. So the deep sea is one of the regions. We have already taken two beds, seabed regions, which we are going to do experimental mining at some stage. Maybe we will also look at the Bay of Bengal area, where again our zones that we control and Bangladesh controls intersect. And of course, this mining is controlled by a UN body, so we have to seek permission from them too. So all that we have to, that is why we need to cooperate with our neighbors if we want to go ahead and do this. And remember, the world ahead is going to depend upon, just as we today depend upon oil and gas, tomorrow we are going to depend upon certain other minerals, including rare earth, including lithium, including cobalt and copper. So these are things which we need to mine from the seabed, and for that we need to cooperate. Cooperation with the big sea is the most important thing takeaway from this meeting between Sheikh Hasina and Mr. Narendra Modi.
What is important is also that trade has started in the Indian rupees now.
Well, yes, though I would imagine that most of the trade will continue to be dollar-denominated for some more time. But what has happened is with this agreement on digital payment, citizens of Bangladesh who come to India for medical treatment or to have a holiday, or all people who go there, tourism, so they will be able to use their credit cards there and vice versa, which means that you don't first convert rupees into dollars and then into takas. Or you don't convert taka into dollar and then into rupees, which means it's a long, cumbersome procedure and you lose money because you have to change your currency twice. So you actually gain a little bit out of that. And when that little gain is added up, multiplied by the number of visitors, there are, let's say, about 800,000 visitors from Bangladesh every year. It is a huge amount of money. So that's the kind of saving that people to people will have. Ultimately, you have to realize all relations are based on people to people exchanges and people to people's trusts. It's not just the governments who talk to each other, it's the people. So that is what we are facilitating through these agreements on digital payment, on e-visa for medical tourism, which is an important thing because a lot of Bangladeshis come here for their health checkups and medical operations, etc. In fact, many hospitals depend upon Bangladeshis and Afghans nationals for their business, private hospitals. So this is a good measure, again, for both people of both countries.
And how can we forget the world's longest river cruise on the Ganga River between India and Bangladesh, which has successfully been completed and it's going to boost tourism.
Tourism and, of course, freight, most importantly freight. This is the cheapest way of carrying anything from India to Bangladesh and vice versa. Already we have been using their waterways to take, when we built that power plant in Tripura, the gas-based power plant, many of the heavy machinery, which are really huge things, which you can't really take by train or by road or whatever. So they had to be floated up a river on barges, huge barges, special barges for that. This is the start of the trade. And ultimately, this is the way we will progress, using the rivers which are common to us, Brahmaputra and Ganges, both for tourism and for cargo movements. It's already happening. Inland waterways is big, but hopefully this will increase in volume. At one time, after all, remember that India was linked to all that is now Bangladesh in a much better way through railways and through steamer services, etc. You had to catch steamers from India to Bangladesh. You could buy a ticket which would give you the right to travel on a train, change into a steamer and then go to Dhaka. All that will again be replicated. Seamless travel, so to say.
Yeah. So what measures are being taken to improve the security cooperation between India and Bangladesh?
See, the thing is that Bangladesh is one of those lucky countries which does not really have an enemy, so to speak. It has an army, but it doesn't need an enemy. It's surrounded by India, and India has been on the best of terms with Bangladesh. On the other part, there is a small border with Myanmar, but, you know, the relations between Bangladesh and Myanmar over the Rohingya issue has been a little strained, but there's no chance of a war there. So Bangladesh is secure, but every country, nevertheless, despite how secure it is, would always like to have a little bit of security insurance, which is what an army, a blue water navy, an air force gives, and which is what Bangladesh also has. So Bangladesh has been buying equipment from a lot of countries. India would also like to sell equipment. We are now getting into the business of selling defense equipment, which we were a little chary of earlier in our earlier days. So hopefully there will be some more. Bangladesh has discovered that some of the equipment they bought from another neighbor to the north of both these countries hasn't been that great as far as their navy is concerned. So hopefully they will look towards us too. And of course we are cheaper than anything that Europeans or the Americans can sell. So we will obviously be willing, we will be more than happy to tailor make equipments if Bangladesh so desires. And we'll look forward to that. Let us see where it takes. Defense cooperation between the two defense forces has been on for a long time. Training has been there. Training is a very, very big understanding between the two countries. There have been a lot of joint exercises. The border guards of both the countries, BSF and BGB, have been doing a lot of coordination together, especially to end the kind of border killings which have happened, which are basically because of smuggling of narcotics, human beings, some other things.
So that has
across
been
the
bone of contention.
That has been a bone of contention between the two countries. But I think
how are they addressing this?
I think better cooperation,
water management,
better cooperation between the two countries. That is one. Secondly, easier travel between the two countries, and taking out as many things as is possible from a negative list of import and export, so that most of the trade is actually legal and valid, and there are very little duty on that, so that there are no incentives to smuggle. That is the big thing. If you don't have an incentive to smuggle, for instance, right now we have a slightly higher duty on gold. So there's an incentive to smuggle gold, which is why you have all these stories of, news reports of boats being caught in the Sundarbans, which are, carrying gold from one side to the other. So once you incentivize smuggling stops. And once smuggling stops, all this racketeering which goes around in the border areas will also automatically stop.
My last question to you is regarding the relationship that fit into regional strategy, particularly concerning organizations like SAARC or BIMSTEC.
I think BIMSTEC is a much more doable thing, and we are working on it. BBIN, again, is a regional subgrouping which we are working on. SAARC, till Pakistan comes on board, you really can't do much about it. But BIMSTEC and BBIN are winners, and I'm sure we will have win-win deals soon on them.
On that note, a big thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on strengthening India-Bangladesh bilateral relations. The participants were Jayanto Roy Chaudhary, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.